From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Rescue workers in Haiti continue to search through rubble, hoping to find more survivors of last week's earthquake. NPR's David Gilkey watched efforts at a school in Port-au-Prince.
You can hear people in the basement. When they quieted the crowd outside and stopped the digging, you can hear the people yelling back to the rescuers outside. Pick a street or a city block, and there is a building, and somebody is alive in it right now. The possibilities of still pulling people out alive from the wreckage, they're everywhere.
NPR's David Gilkey. It's not known how many people died. The Pan American Health Organization estimates at least 100,000. A United Nations humanitarian official says this is the worst disaster the international organization has ever faced. 5 days after the quake, hundreds of thousands of Haitians are without basic supplies. The U.S. Coast Guard is assessing Haiti's needs. From member station WUSF in Tampa, Bobby O'Brien has more.
Federal agencies at Tampa International Airport are planning for several scenarios, including processing Haitian Americans or undocumented evacuees and those who may be injured. Brenda Gohagan is spokeswoman for the airport.
If they're all healthy and they just need to get air connections to other cities and get processed into the U.S., then that's pretty easy.
Airports in Orlando and Stuart in Central Florida are also on alert. For NPR News, I'm Bobby O'Brien in Tampa.
A man of Haitian descent is to be arraigned in Queens today for a security breach at JFK International Airport yesterday. Authorities say he opened a restricted door, which set off an alarm. A terminal was evacuated, delaying dozens of flights. Airport officials say the man is from Haiti but lives in Brooklyn. He's being charged with criminal trespass. 2 weeks ago, a security breach at Newark Liberty International Airport forced thousands of passengers to be rescreened and delayed flights for hours. President Obama travels to Massachusetts this afternoon to lend support to a struggling Democratic Senate candidate. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Democrat Martha Coakley finds herself in an unexpectedly close race for the Senate seat long held by the late Ted Kennedy. At least one poll shows Coakley trailing Republican rival Scott Brown. If Brown wins a special election on Tuesday, the GOP could have the 41 votes it needs to sidetrack President Obama's signature health care initiative. Speaking to reporters on Friday, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs was not ready to entertain that possibility.
I don't think Scott Brown's going to win on Tuesday.
Still, the president's 11th-hour decision to campaign in Massachusetts shows how close the race is and how high the stakes are for the administration. A Republican hasn't won a Senate race in Massachusetts since 1972. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News from Washington. Pope Benedict XVI will become the second pope in history to visit Rome's main synagogue today. But tensions are greater today in Jewish-Catholic relations than when his predecessor made his visit in 1986. NPR's Silvia Pajoli reports from Rome.
The president of the Italian Rabbinical Assembly, Giuseppe Laras, will boycott the papal visit in protest over Benedict's decision last month to advance the sainthood cause of his wartime predecessor, Pius XII. Pius is widely accused of having remained silent during the Holocaust. Laras said the pope's visit is a negative fact and will only serve the most reactionary sectors of the Catholic Church. Holocaust survivor and prominent member of the Italian Jewish community Piero Terracina will also boycott the visit. He believes that had Pius XII made a single gesture, Rome's Jews would not have been deported to Nazi death camps. Rome's chief rabbi Riccardo Di Segni has said he will raise the Pius case with Benedict. The German-born pope has never spoken publicly of his childhood during Nazism or of the Catholic Church's relations with the Third Reich. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
A court in Baghdad today issued another death sentence for the man known as Chemical Ali. Ali Hassan al-Majid was convicted of crimes against humanity for his role in a poisonous gas attack against a Kurdish town in 1988 that killed 5,000 people. Majid is the cousin of Saddam Hussein. He's received additional death sentences for other atrocities, including killing Shiites in the 1990s. Iraq's Presidency Council had approved his execution nearly 2 years ago, but legal maneuvering has delayed it being carried out. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.